This is the Book Club at 91.7. Good morning. I'm Mark Purcell. Glad to have you along on this Saturday. Coming up a little bit later, Piper Hawkins, a Cincinnati author with her new book, Visions of Light, A Christmas Story. Piper's 9 years old and has fulfilled her goal of publishing before she is 10. Also coming up a little later, Boris Johnson, the mayor of London, talks about his new book about Churchill. On the phone with me is Austin Kleon. He was the author of the New York Times bestseller, Steal Like an Artist, and his new book is Show Your Work, 10 Ways to Share Your Creativity and Get Discovered. Austin Kleon, welcome back to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be back.
Well, I mentioned WMUB, and I know after our previous conversation that you kind of have Ohio ties, although you're living in Austin, Texas right now.
I do. I spent the first two decades of my life in Ohio. I grew up in Circleville, and I went to school at Miami University in Oxford.
Well, and you can still write great books like this, despite that, huh?
Yeah. You caught me there. I feel like, you know, it's funny. I feel like my Ohio upbringing had a big, you know, a big impact on me. I don't know how it can't, you know. I feel like I'm a real Midwestern at heart, even down here in Texas. I feel like that kind of, that work ethic, that idea of, you know, being generous and doing the work that's in front of you and kind of trying to build a community. I feel like that's all stuff I learned when I was growing up, you know.
Yep. And your first book, Steal Like an Artist, was quite a hit. I know I bought multiple copies and spread it around. It had some really life-changing advice, and I know a lot of people I'm in touch with were touched by it. How did you feel about the reception of Steal Like an Artist?
Oh, I'm always amazed that anyone cares what I have to say. And so, you know, to me, Steal Like an Artist was, it was a bit of a life changer for me, you know. And so, but the coolest thing about, you know, Steal Like an Artist was I reached such a wide audience. And, you know, the late, great Christopher Hitchens, he said, the great thing about putting out a book into the world is that you meet all the people that you should have talked to before you wrote the actual book, you know? And that was true of Steal Like an Artist. You know, I met all these people out in the world that had read the book, and they had so many questions, and those questions led straight to Show Your Work, you know, the new book. So many of the questions I got were people were saying, you know, I've got this thing going, but I just don't know how to let people know about it. I don't know how to put it out in the world, and I'm afraid of self-promotion, and I hate self-promotion, so what am I supposed to do? And so I wanted to write a book for all those folks. And that's what I tried to do in Show Your Work.
Well, I have to say, Steal Like an Artist was kind of providing readers with the keys to unlocking creativity. And you mentioned right in the beginning here and Show Your Work, you talk about how, you just said it, people aren't self-promoters. They can be very shy about what they do.
Yeah, I think self-promotion, you know, it's a sleazy thing for a lot of us, that idea that we would try to promote ourselves, you know. But I think if you tweak self-promotion a bit and you think about just sharing what it is that you do in a way that's either useful or helpful to other people, then I think that can really change the way you operate. You know, instead of thinking about self-promotion, you think about what you have to offer the world that's an act of generosity, you know, what you can give of yourself that's actually going to help other people. And, you know, maybe it's a product that you're selling, maybe it's something that you're teaching, or maybe it's just sharing the work of others, you know, but really honing in on that idea of what you have to give the world rather than what the world can do for you.
Well, I know people, you know, a business buzzword would be networking, but in Show Your Work, you're talking about, you know, not necessarily tooting your own horn, but at least being out there for people to see. And that's what people have trouble doing. It's what's the old adage about the mousetrap, you know, make the world's, you know, best mousetrap and the world will beat its path to your door. Well, that's not the case. You have to go out there and show the world your mousetrap.
Yeah, I think that we have this idea that it's not enough to be good, right? You also have to be findable. Like, so much of the time people talk about finding your audience. Well, I actually think that your audience finds you. But, you know, the problem is how are we supposed to put ourselves out there while we're busy getting good at what we're doing, you know, while we're running a business or while we're learning our profession or while we're students learning a craft, you know? It's like, but I think there's a way to take advantage of the network that is the internet and this new connected world we're living in. I think there's a way to take advantage of that in a way that you don't have to do that traditional networking that we think of as like going to a fancy conference or schmoozing at a cocktail party. You know, so many of the people I look up to, they're really busy doing their thing, but, you know, once in a while they just poke their heads up and they share something, and they share it on the network in a place where people can see it, and pretty soon an audience shows up, you know, and they create this kind of community of people who are passionate about the same things that they can then use for, you know, fellowship, feedback, or patronage, you know, money.
I'm speaking with Austin Kleon, the best-selling author of Steal Like an Artist. His new book is Show Your Work, 10 Ways to Share Your Creativity and Get Discovered. And you mentioned sharing there, Austin, but you also warn in the book about oversharing. You know, social media is great, but yes, everybody has friends on, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter, who overshare, and you warn about oversharing.
Yes, it's very dangerous. You can turn into human spam very quickly. And everyone who's listening, I'm sure you know these people, right? These are the people just kind of flooding your life with their, you know, minute little details, you know? And so I think the way to think about sharing is to think of it really as an act of generosity. It's to think about that person on the other end of the sharing. And that can be quality and quantity. You know, one of the things that I say in the book is share something small every day. You know, don't worry about being online constantly. Just once a day after you've done your work, take 15 or 20 minutes, look back at your process, think about the things you learned, think about any stories that happened in the day, or think about anything that you produced, and share that in a little bit, and share it in a way that people might respond to it. And what's interesting about just sharing something small every day is small things over time get big. You know, if you share one thing every day, pretty soon people show up, you know, and interesting things happen. And so I think sharing something small every day is a really easy way for people to get started putting their work out there.
Of course, that getting started part is sometimes difficult, Austin. People, you know, will promote their own barriers, if you may. And you start out right at the beginning of the book, Show Your Work. Number one being you don't have to be a genius. And you talk about the seniors. So explain the difference between genius and seniors, because you led me to understand that geniuses are not necessarily isolated people.
Yes. So this is an idea. Seniors is an idea that comes to us via Brian Eno, the musician and the producer. And what Brian Eno says is that, you know, our traditional notion of creativity or innovation is that it's led by these lone individuals, you know, people with names like Picasso or Mozart or Steve Jobs, you know. And what Brian Eno says is that if you look back at history and you study these figures, you oftentimes find, more often than not, that they were part of a whole scene or a whole network of people that were contributing ideas to each other, sharing ideas, stealing from each other, you know, copying. And that a lot of times that these people who we think of as geniuses, they arose out of what Eno calls a genius. And so one of the things I think is interesting about that concept is if you realize that it's really geniuses that breed innovation and good work and creativity, then your job becomes not to be a lone individual, but to join a part of a genius. And in a genius, there's lots of room for people who don't necessarily think of themselves as geniuses. There's a lot of different roles we can play within these communities. And so one of the first things I tell people getting started now is to think about your genius that you want to join or start, or think about the world you want to join. Look at the work that people are doing, pay a lot of attention, see what they're up to, and then see what they're not up to, and then think about that void and what you have of your own efforts that you might be able to fill it with. And that's how you get started.
Well, and also you mentioned, and this was something that kind of struck home, but I'm of an age where I read the obituaries for an entirely different reason, just to make sure I'm not that old yet. But you say read obituaries, you know, and it because one day you'll be dead, and most people ignore that basic fact of life.
You know, that's the thing, is that people ask me all the time. They say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of putting my work out there. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. And, you know, they act like I'm not afraid, too. You know, I'm someone who's just as afraid. I mean, you know, if anything, once you build an audience, there's almost more people looking at you, and there's more at stake when you share your work. But one of the things that I've always found encouraging is I get up every morning and I read the obituaries because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, that's very morbid. And I say, well, the funny thing about obituaries is they're not about death, they're about life. Because when you read about these lives that people led, you know, these people aren't around anymore, but you are. And so I find, you know, obituaries to be really inspirational. These people were on earth and they did something worth meriting a decent obituary. And I'm on earth, so what am I going to do to merit a decent obituary, right? And that, like, helps me get out of bed and helps me get the guts to put my work out there.
Well, it does. I was, you know, very much struck by that. As I said, I'm of an age where more and more of my friends seem to be passing, or, you know, I'm more and more aware of the mortality, and but I've never considered it from the perspective you bring to it. And that is something that is eye-opening and inspirational, too.
I've always just felt like, you know, they were here and now they're not, and so you've been given the gift of today, you know, so what are you going to do with it?
Show Your Work, 10 Ways to Share Your Creativity and Get Discovered, a new book by Austin Kleon, who's on the phone with me from his home in Austin, Texas. His previous bestseller was Steal Like an Artist. You can find out more about Austin and his book at WVXU.org. I'm not going to cover all 10 ways because I do want people to, you know, see the book and learn on their own, Austin, but I did want to talk about a couple of the points out of the 10. We touched on a few of them, but number 5, tell good stories, I thought was something that is more and more valuable in this day and age.
Yeah, you know, I meet so many people who say, well, you know, I think my work speaks for itself. You know, they kind of cross their arms and say, my work speaks for itself. That is the opposite has been my experience. I think that what we say about our work, the stories we tell about our work, they have this huge impact on how people think about our work, how people feel about our work, and ultimately how they value it and whether they'll pay for it, you know, if you want to be a little crass about it. And so I think that the stories we tell around our work can sometimes be just as important as the work itself when it comes to, you know, getting people behind it. And so, you know, we're not all natural-born storytellers. I know I certainly wasn't. And so much of storytelling for me was about studying really good stories, becoming a student of storytelling, listening to good stories, going to see good movies, you know, reading good novels, reading great nonfiction, and then, you know, starting to pick apart what makes stories good. And often what you find is stories are all about structure, you know, and once you learn the structure of stories and the shapes of stories, you can start fitting your own experiences into these stories that we've had for, you know, these story structures we've had for thousands of years. And so the way to become a better storyteller is to start listening to better stories and then try out some of your own.
Well, I had both the pleasure and the honor of speaking with Robin Sloan, the author of Mr. Penumbra's 24-Hour Bookstore, when he was
Robin, great guy.
And he had great things to say about you too. He was very impressed with your work, and I noticed you quote him in Show Your Work here.
I do. Robin had this great concept that I really, you know, first of all, Robin wrote a post called "Working in Public," which really, really influenced Show Your Work, but one of the things Robin talked about that I loved is he took this economic concept called stock and flow, and he turned it into a concept for media. So what he means is your flow is your day-to-day output. It's like the tweets, you know, the Facebook posts, the blog posts, whatever. And your stock is the things that really last. You know, maybe that's the product you've developed or the book you've put out or, you know, some client project that happens. But one of the things I like to take from Robin, and I, you know, this is how ideas happen. You know, you take someone else's idea and put your own spin on it. And one of the things I thought about Robin's idea was that it's very easy for me to turn flow into stock. So what I mean by that is so many of the things in my books, they start out as little tweets, you know, that I put out on Twitter, and then I turn them into a blog post, and then pretty soon I have a little blog tag, and then those blog tags turn into a book chapter, you know. So the point is that little small bits of effort, over time, you can turn them into something big. And so, you know, figure out what your flow is and then figure out how to turn your flow into stock.
Well, of course, most people would say, well, I don't want it to be out there until it's perfect. And that can kind of interrupt flow.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, that could get to the think process, not product chapter. I actually think there's value in kind of sharing what you're doing before it's perfect. Because, you know, when you get to a point where you're not really sure, you know, what something is or how it's working yet, sometimes exposing it to the air, so to speak, putting it in front of people, can give you an idea of what you have. And sometimes sharing things before you think they're ready can be the greatest learning experience, you know. And so I encourage people to think about how they can share their works in progress without giving away the whole scene, you know, and then being able to learn from it.
Well, but the other part of it is, well, if it's not perfect, there's that fear of failure. But you kind of touch on that, too, in item number 8 in Show Your Work, which is learn to take a punch.
Yeah. I mean, when you put your work out in the world, you just have to be ready for the good, the bad, and the ugly. And so much of taking, you know, having your work out in the world and learning how to take a punch is you just have to get hit a lot. You know, you have to put a lot out in the world and let people take shots at you. And what you find out over time is that, you know, the punches don't hurt, or you figure out a way to make them not hurt. And one of the most important things about criticism is to understand that you don't care what the whole world thinks about your work. You just care about what the right people think about your work. And so, you know, to try to identify who you're trying to reach for your work and who those people are that you really want to hear from, and then pay attention to their criticisms instead of the whole wide world, that's really what you want to focus on.
So it's 10 ways to share your creativity and get discovered, and not ask, well, I guess I am asking you to pick a favorite child. Which out of the 10 do you feel is the most important and most salient to readers? Or what have you found to be that one that resonates the most?
I think the one that has resonated for me the most, you know, people, I think a lot of people think when you show your work, you're, again, it's that idea of self-promotion. I have something that I'm putting out there, right? But I think the teach what you know chapter, because the whole point of teach what you know is, if you've talked to any teachers, they often tell you that they learn as much from their students as they feel like sometimes their students learn from them. There's something about the act of sharing what you're learning or sharing what you know that you figure out what you really know and what you don't know. And so when you share what you've learned, people talk back at you and they give you new ideas and you learn things in return. So it's kind of this cycle of sharing and learning. And so I think one of the most valuable things that people can find out from my book is that when you put your work out in the world, you meet the people you're supposed to meet, and they will provide you with a free education that kind of goes on as long as you share your work. And so I think we all have that ability. You put your work out in the world, and you not only get the results of whatever that sharing is, but you learn, and it's a constant education that goes on forever.
I noticed that, well, we already mentioned Robin Sloan there, but you also mentioned Clay Shirky. Who else has been inspiring to you through your work and reaction to your books?
Gosh, well, you know, when it comes to heroes, I mean, I've, because I'm a writer who draws from the Midwest, I've always been inspired by people who write and draw from the Midwest. So people like Linda Barry, the fantastic cartoonist and teacher, Kurt Vonnegut, you know, is a big influence on me. Charles Schulz, who, you know, did Peanuts for 50 years, but gosh, I feel like, you know, I have this little posse of people that I've met. It's been incredible. You know, people ask me sometimes, what's the best thing about having your book out in the world and having your work out there? And I say over and over, you know, it's the same message of Show Your Work. It's the people you meet. You know, the way that I've been able to meet so many of my heroes and so many of the people whose work I've been passionate about, now I consider them peers and even friends. You know, that's really the good stuff. And so those are the people that I learn from constantly.
Well, I want to ask you about your thank you in your book, Show Your Work, that says, finally, to Owen, who doesn't give a hoot about any of this, who is Owen in your life, if I may call Owen so, out?
Yeah, Owen is my 18-month-old son. And, you know, I hoped that becoming a father would teach me as much as I had to teach him, and it certainly has. One of the things I love about family life, and specifically about being a parent, is Owen just really doesn't care whether I'm a success or a failure. You know, he doesn't really care about any of this stuff. He just wants to hang out and for me to be dad. And that's something I tell people, you know, who are trying to do their careers, you know, or trying to get their stuff off the ground, is, you know, make sure that you have loved ones in your life that love you no matter what, because, man, that, you know, having that kind of being anchored in that way, I think, is so healthy. And I love my family, and I love the kind of you know, the shelter they give me from so much of this madness, you know. Sorry, that was kind of a long answer.
No, but a good one. An excellent one, Austin. So.
Thank you.
Austin Kleon, the author of Show Your Work, 10 Ways to Share Your Creativity and Get Discovered. It's his newest book. His previous bestseller was Steal Like an Artist. You can find out about both books and more of Austin's work online at wvxu.org, and find his books where books are sold. Austin, thanks for being on the Book Club at 91.7.
Oh, thank you for having me back. I can't wait for next time.
It's been 50 years since the great British statesman Winston Churchill died. Among the books looking back at the iconic politician and writer is The Churchill Factor, How One Man Made History. It's written by Boris Johnson. The mayor of London remembers the pugnacious Churchill in less than 15 minutes. And next, Piper Hawkins discussing her new book, Visions of Light, A Christmas Story. And the Book Club at 91.7 continues in a moment.